Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's good to be with you. My name is Kristen Phillipson. For those who don't know me, I'm the Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care here at Rosedale United Church. And with me in leadership this morning is Dr. Sarah Svensson, our music director. The choir is amongst you, as is our organ scholar, Sarah Gangle. Oh, here she comes in. There we are. It's good to be together. Rosedale United is committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of Rosedale and in our city. We gather each week to learn, to grow, and to serve. Some announcements from the life and work of this community. I'm starting to offer monthly space to tend to our souls, and this offering is just exactly as it sounds. It's time just to care for your soul, just to take a breath, to rest, to find some courage and renewal within yourself. This offering is open to everyone. It's one of those spiritual but not religious offerings, so it's the kind of thing that you could invite a friend to. And it's also drop-in. Any month you're free, you can just drop in. You don't have to feel that you have to attend every gathering. Our choir is starting their preparation for the season of Easter and our very special service on Good Friday, extra choir offerings. So they're meeting every Thursday now, in addition to Sunday mornings. And this is one of those times when you can just pop into the choir if you want to join for a season and try it out. We're especially looking for male voices who might be interested in joining. And so the choir is now meeting every Thursday here at 7:15. And you're welcome to join again. This is a kind of bring a friend activity if you have someone who's always wanted to try your hand at singing. Some notes for Lent. We're testing out, or I guess starting new responses today. So you'll notice some changes in our order of service. Sorry, I can feel my brain with the time change just not entirely working. So just give me this announcement time to, you know, come into myself. So just keep your eyes open. Everything that we're debuting today, we will continue to sing for the duration of this special season of Lent. So you'll have time to get used to everything. And we've chosen responses that will be familiar to you and that you will know. You'll have heard the tunes before or you'll recognize them. Okay, it's also become a tradition for us during the season of Lent to bring recent Oscar-nominated films into conversation with our biblical texts. And we do this because Lent is a season that asks us to look very deeply at our human condition and then to revitalize our humanity and renew ourselves through spiritual practice to deepen our connection with God and to restore and repair our hearts. And we think, well, what better medium to get us thinking about the human condition than film? Film really magnifies the human condition on the big screen. And also, it's just kind of fun to talk about movies. Lent can be a long season, and it can otherwise be kind of down and dour. And so bringing the movies kind of brings a little bit of levity and some fun into the conversation. We're not this year screening the trailers to the films in the service. You can watch the trailers to every film we'll be discussing in our weekly e-newsletter. But you never have to have seen these. It's totally, completely fine to show up here blind. I'll always unpack what we're going to be talking about, and you'll get something out of the service. Okay. Kelly. I don't know if Kelly is here. Maybe not yet. He is going to be here after the service. We are celebrating Kelly Buxton, our custodian of 8 years. He is retiring from custodial work. We have a cake for him to honor his time with us after the service. So we do hope you'll stay for coffee hour. And it's actually good that he's not in the sanctuary right now, because we have cards for you all to sign to wish him well. They're at the back on the little table there. And so do sign those cards for Kelly and join us after the service in wishing Kelly well in his retirement. So we are proud here at Rosedale United Church to be an open and an affirming congregation. We represent a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, and backgrounds. And as we gather, we acknowledge this sacred land, site of human activity for 15,000 years. It is the territory of the Huron-Wendat, the Petun First Nations, the Seneca, and most recently, the Mississaugas of the Credit River. And we're grateful for the opportunity to gather on this territory and pray to respect and honor the treaties between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples that govern this land. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in loving memory of David Alexander Sterling, and the anniversary of his death is coming up on March 11th. David is forever in the hearts of his family, and we are thinking of the Sterlings this morning and holding you in our hearts. Friends, I invite us to stand as we are able and to join with me in our call to worship. God invites us to journey in the way of faithfulness, to walk the Lenten road with Christ. We journey with confidence, for Christ is with us. Thanks be to God for God's steadfast love. And we sing praise to God who has shaped. We're singing verses 1, 2, and 4. Friends, I invite us to turn to one another and greet one another with the peace of Christ, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you and also with you." Can I take this moment now to light our Christ candle? And for the season of Lent, we light these tenebrae candles, and there are six of them, representing the 6 weeks we have to journey through this season. And each week at the end of the service, we'll be marking time by extinguishing the light of one of the candles. I invite you into a moment of silence to quiet your heart, steady your mind, and come more deeply into this place from wherever you have been this morning. And let us pray. Creating God, still center of the world you have made, we come to you in this season of turning and returning. We do not know how to seek you with our whole hearts, but we know you are our source and our destiny. In the midst of life, we return to you. We turn toward you. We thank you that you know how to hold even the broken heart, the troubled conscience, the conflicted spirit. Hear us as we say together these words of confession. God of Exodus and wilderness, God of refuge and help, hear us now as we make our confession to you. In times that challenge and test us, we forget what you have done for us. You give us everything we need, yet often we remain unsatisfied. You trust us to care for creation, yet we often abuse that trust and spoil what we have been given. You show us the way we are to follow, yet we often continue on the path of self-indulgence and self-centeredness. Forgive us, we pray. We ask for your direction, your patience, your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, who, in spite of his trials, was faithful to your saving word. Let us pray together as Jesus taught us. O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing together, Ubi Caritas. So today we begin a very sacred season, the season of Lent. It's the 40 days before the great celebration of Easter. And it commemorates two 40-day, 40-year wilderness times in the traditions of our faith. The 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness, discerning, sorting himself out after his baptism, deciding what his ministry in the world would be, what journey it was that he was on, and also the 40 years that the people, the ancient people of Israel, spent in the wilderness from their journey out of Egypt and to the promised land. So this morning, as we open this sacred time together, I want you to consider, what is the wilderness that you are in right now in your life? What would you call the wilderness that you are in right now in your life? And what is the journey that you are on? I invite you into a time of contemplation. I'll invite Marcus forward for our scripture readings, and as Marcus is making his way up to the front, some context. So our focus reading today is from the book of Deuteronomy, and we meet here the people of Israel as they are just on the cusp of entering the promised land. So as I mentioned, 40 years has gone by. They have been wandering in the wilderness, and they finally arrived. And they think now that they have arrived at all the steadiness and the security that they have been longing for so long. They will now have land, and they'll be able to form themselves as a nation and crown a king and be able to start putting down roots. And in our reading, Moses stops them. Actually, the entire book of Deuteronomy is one long sermon by Moses. We're just reading a part of it. But he stops the people and he counsels them to say, you know, the security you're looking for, it's more than just land. It actually has to do with who you are, your relationship with God, and how you live out your values. And so we're hearing one portion of that message right now.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 1 to 11. When you have entered the land of the Lord, your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it. Take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in the basket. Then go to the place the Lord God, your God, will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. In these ancient words, may we find wisdom for living today. A reading from the book of Psalms, chapter 91. Those who dwell in the shelter of infinite light, who abide in the wings of infinite love, will raise their voices in praise. Though 1,000 may deride this radical trust, 10,000 laugh as I seek to do your will, yet will I surrender myself to you, abandoning myself into your hands without reserve. For you have sent your angels to watch over me, to guide me in all my ways. On their hands they will bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Though I walk among those who roar like a lion or are as stealthy as the adder, in your strength will I endure. Because you cleave to me in love, I will deliver you. I will protect you who call upon my name. When you call to me, I will answer you. I will be with you in times of trouble. I will rescue you so that you will know my peace. All through the years will I dwell in your heart as loving companion presence forever.
Thank you, choir. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the reflections of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So, what are your favorite ways to escape from a world that is always changing and maybe not in the ways that you want it to? Maybe you have certain rituals that act as an escape pod for you, a cooking show or a baking show that you like to watch, a reality TV show you tune into where the character's behavior makes your jaw drop. Maybe your favorite way to escape is with a mystery novel or watching your favorite sports team. I listened to a BBC radio show from the UK called The Archers. And I discovered it a few years ago when I was staying at my brother's place in London and listening to his radio while I cooked and did the dishes. Every evening after the 6 o'clock news, The Archers would come on. And it's a radio drama that's been running for something like 70 years, if you can believe it. But you can jump in at any point and pretty quickly figure out what's going on. And it follows an extended family of farmers over the generations. They're called the Archers. And all the other characters in this little village in rural England. And each episode is just 13 minutes long. And you can stream it from Canada. And I'll listen now while I'm cooking dinner. And my family finds the show immensely boring. You know, now they're at the pig farm, and now they're in the dairy where the characters are making cheese, and now they're talking in the tea room, and now there's trouble at the pub. And the script is also riddled with thinly veiled public service announcements, like they once did a whole storyline on how to safely ride e-bikes. But I've come to cherish those 13 minutes that I have every day where I get whisked away to the English countryside to check in with people who are just trying to be decent and polite and kind. Escape is one way to cope with a world and work and daily life that can leave us feeling unsteady, unanchored, unmoored. It feels good to run away for a while. Escape can distract us from our discomfort. Others try to control the world as much as they can. A Complete Unknown is not just a film about Bob Dylan or the folk music scene in New York City in the early 1960s. It's a film about finding a sense of security and stability in a world that is always changing. It's about what it looks like to feel anchored and steady, even when all around you is wavy and roiling. The film dramatizes a tiny but significant chapter in Bob Dylan's life, the 4 years from when he first arrived in New York City as a 19-year-old, a prodigy in the folk music scene, the poetry of his songs on display, unadorned, just him and his guitar and his harmonica, through to his decision to move away from the folk aesthetic, despite success and a growing audience, to go electric and to form a band. And it sounds like a small thing to do, no big deal really, embracing electric, but it was a bold decision at the time. It looked like Bob Dylan was turning his back on the steadiness and security of the folk world, and it would exile him for a time from the people and the genre that had helped to form him and helped to get him record deals. Bob Dylan is an outlier in this film because he finds his grounding, his steadiness, his anchoring from within himself, not by trying to escape his world or by trying to control his world, but simply by following what feels authentic to him. You get the sense that he is in touch with himself as a soul, and that he's not afraid to follow his soul's leading. He refuses in the film to find security and stability by doing what other people want him to do, by trying to be popular or financially successful. Instead, the film shows him taking risks. And paradoxically, he finds a kind of stability and steadiness by embracing change, not running away from it, by walking boldly into a complete unknown. He's a paradox, grounded and anchored in times that are a-changing. All the other characters in this film try to get security and stability by controlling the world outside of themselves. They try to make the world as steady and unchanging as possible. If escape is one way to cope with an always changing world, control is another. The character of Pete Seeger, for example, is portrayed as a kind of mentor to Bob Dylan. When we first meet him, it's in the hospital room of the folk legend Woody Guthrie, who is declining. He's a symbol of the present now that will later be past. And Seeger sees Dylan as a musician who can pick up where Guthrie will leave off, a voice and a mind who will bring folk music to the next generation. The Pete Seeger character doesn't want the world of music as he's known it to change. The thought leaves him feeling unsteady, unanchored, and so he tries to find a sense of stability and security by grounding himself in control to the extent that he can. He's deeply committed in the film to not changing with the times. He lives in a log cabin in upstate New York, and he won't even permit flush toilets. If he can just control what's outside of himself, if he can just keep folk music the same, he thinks, then he won't feel so unmoored, unanchored, and all will be well with his world. So when Bob Dylan decides to electrify his set at a concert Pete Seeger is organizing, Seeger is completely undone. His order is rapidly fading. It's easy to shake our heads at the Pete Seeger character in this film. Silly man, we think, trying to find solid ground in a world that's always changing by trying to gain control of the world. But don't we all do the same? Don't we all try to make ourselves feel more grounded and stable by trying to give ourselves as firm a footing as possible? The whole project of our lives, it seems, is to try to feel in control by controlling what we can, by connecting our sense of security and stability and how grounded we feel to what is outside of ourselves, our titles, how much we have, how much we own. We go to school or train on the job to get the accreditation that gives us the job, that gets us the funds to find a place for ourselves, some steady ground in the world. And I would never advise my own kids not to try to get some security by controlling everything that they can, by trying to get an education, by trying to get a good job. But at the same time, we know that jobs can come and go. The value of money can change, and suddenly we don't have as much as we thought. Our investments can go up and down. So often we tie our sense of security and steadiness and feeling grounded and safe to our world never changing, like Pete Seeger in A Complete Unknown. But our world is always changing, and there's only so much we can control. Here's where our scriptures come in. Our scripture passage this week is also about this very real and deep part of our human condition, our longing to feel grounded and stable and secure in a world that's always changing and unpredictable. It's a passage about how we might find security and stability. After their exodus from Egypt, their march from captivity, the ancient people of Israel didn't immediately arrive at the promised land. For 40 years, they lived as nomads, wandering, unmoored, dreaming of stability and steadiness. Security would come, they felt, only when they had more control over their world, when they had their own land and could crown their own king and accumulate property and wealth. And when we meet them today, They've finally arrived at the place they've been dreaming of, the border of the promised land, what they've been waiting for. And they're just about to cross over when Moses says, "Stop! Wait!" Can you imagine that? After 40 years, he insists on sharing a long speech. "Yes," Moses says to the people, "you're on the cusp of entering this land and finally being able to put down roots. But you know, the fact that the world is always changing, that's not going to change." He gave the people this counsel: "When you've entered the land the Lord your God is giving you, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil and put them in a basket. Bring them to the priest. Remember where you came from. Put the basket before the Lord your God and bow down. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all good things." Be conscientious, Moses is saying to them. Be grateful. Start every day with this kind of thoughtfulness. Share what you have, even with people who are foreign to you. Be generous. What actually grounds us, Moses is saying, what anchors us, what actually gives us a sense of being moored and stable and secure, is not what is outside of us, our sense of being able to control the world, but what is inside of us, who we are, and how we choose to live. Because we can lose land, we can lose status, we can lose our money, but our sense of ourselves, our souls, our connection to God, what we value, who we are, who we choose to be, that is what is steady and unchanging. Many hundreds of years later, it did actually happen that the ancient people of Israel were forced out of their land. They were taken captive, many of them, and forced into exile in Babylon. And it was actually during this period that they wrote down these stories about Moses and his counsel, taking them from oral to written tradition. Far from their promised land, when they could no longer depend on a sense of security and steadiness to come from controlling their land, their property, they chose to write down these stories as a way to remind themselves that actually being grounded comes from within. And even in exile, they would gather what they had and give thanks and remember their story and share what they had with others. They were grounded in their souls, in being soulful. Bob Dylan is the only character in A Complete Unknown who isn't grasping for stability and security, who isn't trying to find steadiness by trying to control the outside. You could say he embraces Moses' counsel to find his steadiness and a sense of being grounded within. "How does it feel," Bob Dylan asks in one of his songs, "to be on your own with no direction home, like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone?" I think he has to ask because his own security and grounding and stability come from within, in his commitment to following his soul's leading and living out his values no matter what is going on in the world. I think that what I worry about in this spiritual tradition that is offered up to us today, this habit of the heart, this means of making the most of our humanity, of finding stability and steadiness from within, and our connection to God and spiritual practices that open us and connect us, like gratitude and generosity. I think what I worry about is that this doesn't quite feel like enough in an always changing world. It seems passive, just being conscientious, grateful, generous, authentic, following our soul. And so what I want to remind myself of in this moment is that it is actually an active choice to cultivate steadiness by building a relationship with God and nurturing goodness within ourselves. I want to remind myself that there's nothing passive about this, and that it's a choice we make again and again and again. And if learning about Bob Dylan teaches us anything, it's to not underestimate the power and effect that someone grounded from within can have on others. How many people's souls were uplifted and empowered by the fact that he made the decision to live committed and grounded in his values. Clarissa Pinkola Estes writes, "One of the most calming and powerful actions you can do to intervene in a stormy world is to stand up and show your soul. Soul on deck shines like gold in dark times. Struggling souls catch light from other souls who are fully lit and willing to show it. May we find steadiness and stability, not in what we have, but in who we are and who we help others to be. May it be so. Amen." Friends, we sing together. I can't hear you, sorry. Skip verse two. Okay. So we're going to stand together and sing Jesus Tempted in the Desert, but we're skipping verse two. Please be seated. We have the joy now of celebrating this Feast of Communion. This is an open table. All who seek to walk in the ways of love and justice are welcome to come and be nourished and fed. So I invite you to pray with me. We praise you, loving God, for creating all things, for making us in your image, and for seeking us when we turn from you. We thank you for coming to us in Jesus Christ, who was faithful even to death on a cross, and who lives among us still. We share this meal in remembrance of him, offering you our lives in praise and thanksgiving. On the last night he spent with his friends, Jesus took an age-old tradition of his people and transformed it into something new. He took bread, staple food of his land, blessed it, and broke it. He had to use his muscles. And he gave it to those around him, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Whenever you do this, remember me." And after supper, he took a cup of wine, common drink of his people, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood. Each time you do this, remember me." By remembering Jesus in this way now, we proclaim our common heritage and the mystery of our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Fill us with your Spirit, O Lord, to make us one in Christ and one in love for you and for all people, as in word and deed, we seek your reign of peace and justice on earth. Glory be to you, eternal God, through Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, come, for all is now ready. Friends, let us pray. We give thanks that bread broken brings wholeness, that wine poured out replenishes, that time spent with the risen Christ and one another is gift and grace. Amen. And so we stand and sing our closing hymn, 40 Days and 40 Nights. We're singing 1 and 2 and 4 and 5. And during our hymn, something we're doing for Lent, I'm going to pass around a collection plate. Just keep it flowing on either side. And you're welcome if you want to take an action for the week. So the action includes something that you can fast from and something that you can take on. So it's invitational. You don't have to take one, but that'll be making its way around. All right. Friends, we go out to be instruments of peace in the world, gratitude and generosity, and we go knowing that God promises to dwell in our hearts as loving companion and presence forever. We bless each other as we go, singing, O Ancient Love.